Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let the lies feline with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome to the show. It is Friday, which means Michael Carroll can't join us at Monday or right around. Mike got to see a couple movies this week. He got to see Disclosure Day and what may be one of the better action films in the last decade, at least. He saw Furious, so he will be able to tell us a little bit about that. Furious, 99% on Rotten Tomatoes, so maybe a certified banger. We'll see what Michael thinks about that and what he thinks about the most recent Steven Spielberg joint, Decision Day. Michael apparently differs from the general consensus on that, so we'll get to that at right around 11:30. But as far as before then, we got some stuff to get to, including the start of the biggest tournament in the world. The World Cup began yesterday with a Mexico victory over South Africa, and some interesting things came out of it. If you were just someone who's like, hey, I'm going to turn this on, I know the World Cup's here, let's see what's going on. You saw a Colombian-born player score for Mexico. Mexico, I can't speak to how the people inside their federation feel or how the fans feel about certain things, but if you just look at what the world is today when it comes to soccer, you will see players who weren't born in the country play for the team. The U.S. is filled with guys who, in some ways, never had a permanent residence in the United States. Anthony Robinson played his professional football or soccer in England, grew up there. He talks with an English accent. Sergiño Des grew up in the Netherlands. They're 2-year starters, starting wingbacks. His dad is of Suriname descent, who came to this country, fought in the Vietnam War, but was in the Netherlands when his son was born. The son grew up there, played soccer there. So, as John would say, you got a couple guys who talk funny. You have Balogun, who spent a month here as a child, and then his family moved to England. He's of Nigerian descent. So, if he gets interviewed after the game, maybe he scores a goal tonight against Paraguay, you're going to go, hey, that guy talks funny. He doesn't sound like one of us. There's a lot of that going on across the world. You just look at all the rosters and you start to see where these guys were born and how they came to be playing for a certain country. The U.S. is part of that. But I did not know it would get to Mexico. Like the Argentines, not a chance.
Oh,
you will not find like you may see a guy who may have grown up someplace else.
Like Spain.
Yeah, but yes, like Messi, who they plucked early. But he was born in Argentina. But as far as the demographics of, hey, that guy doesn't look Argentinian, not going to happen. No. They're one of, I won't say few, but there are certainly some countries who are steadfast in their belief that, hey, you're born here, and in some cases you look like this, you're going to play for us, or you have no chance because you look a certain way, you weren't born here. Argentina appears to be one of those countries who has a certain particular want for their national team. Other countries have gone away from what a traditional member of their team looks like, and to great effect. France, I mean, Thierry Henry's been a France staple. We all know him. But France, over the years, has welcomed an African influence from Mbappe to Dembele. You see France's best players. And if you go back to 98 when they won their title, you know, that Thuram and Thierry, as I mentioned, and Thierry Henry, but the whole world has become, hey, if you have any affiliation with our country, there's a real shot we'll want you to play for us if you're pretty good. you know, everyone's like Tech in some ways. These guys don't have gambling problems, but in some ways, everyone's like Tech. If you can play for us, if we can find any small connection enough for you to
play, we'll make
it work. Yeah, we'll find a way. In the U.S., under Klinsmann, really got it going. They had done it before. Like Preki was a guy way back in the late 90s who played for the U.S. who wasn't born here, and it's just continued. So we're going to see a lot of multicultural teams in this World Cup, and it kicked off with Quiñones, who was born and raised in Colombia. His career really got going in Mexico. He became a citizen, and he scores their first goal in the World Cup on the way to a 2-0 win.
That's like Randy Rosarena in the World Baseball Classic, where he's, you know, born in Cuba, from Cuba, but played Mexican ball, and I think has like a Mexican relative or something. Some like loose tie to where, oh, he plays for Mexico now. I think that at least for Team USA, a lot of clubs have a rule. I know Bayern Munich has a rule where if you play for Bayern Munich, like they send you to German class and you have to learn German.
Pick up the language, yeah.
I think for U.S. men's national team and women's national team, I think they should do a version of that where it's just a dialect coach where they teach Anthony Robinson and Florian Balogun to, like, you know, not talk funny, just to, like, sound like
they're... sound like Englishmen?
Yeah. I mean, it's English. I mean, how many English actors have, you know, are you surprised, you know, Idris Elba? Like, I feel like most people are surprised by that. So, yeah, I think he sent him... I mean, shoot, maybe just pay Idris Elba to help and Benedict Cumberbatch to be like, all right, here's how you trick these Americans to thinking you're one of them.
I don't have a problem with it. I just think
for the post game interview part of things, to have someone go, you know, our side was tactical and clinical.
Say all the words that make everyone know you get soccer, but say it in an American way.
Say normal.
Yes, speak normal. What are you doing?
And then maybe if you want to get adventurous, like, pick your own accent. You know, do you want to sound like you're from Alabama?
We've watched the South embrace soccer as fans across the world are traveling to the South. Maybe you want to take on an accent from someone who was born in Auburn, Alabama, Anthony Robinson.
Do you like the town, like Joe Mazzulla?
And also,
learn a Boston accent.
And also, now your name is Anthony. It ain't Anthony.
Oh, yeah. Tony.
Or Ant. You want to be Ant Robinson? Ant Robinson. That's fine.
I'm just going to call him Ant Robinson. Ant.
Or his nickname is Jedi, which is a pretty cool nickname. But
an American.
Yeah. And, you know, if you watched one of the friendlies, he scored a great goal, did a little black backflip. So he's one of the better Premier League defenders, but he will sound English if you hear him speak. Yeah. And that's just what soccer is today.
Until my rule gets implemented.
I don't know if they're going to be able to implement the rule.
They have a dialect
because
coach.
They already speak English.
Like, just tighten it up.
Sound like you were born in the continental United States. Hell, we'll give you Alaska and Hawaii. You wanna
go crazy.
That's fine. But if you were born in the Eastern Hemisphere, fix it. Fix the
just
way you sound.
Tighten it up. Yeah. Tighten up. We can't have the face of American soccer, you know, speak like that.
Well, the face of American soccer and the guy who's going to catch a lot of heat if he doesn't play well is Christian Pulisic, who talks normal, but says things people don't like. So he has what you have figured out, but the words that come out of his mouth sometimes upset people. He did a recent interview and said, you know, it's just a normal, regular big tournament. They asked him about the importance of having a tournament on American soil. So he was like, a regular old tournament. I played in big tournaments before. This is just another big one, which upset some people. If you play as well, people will forget, and that's what we're looking for tonight. Play well, get off to a good start, and the odds are, I think it's over 93%. If they win this match, they're advancing into the round of 32 because of the third place aspect of it. You can be a third place team in your group and win and still advance. So winning this game, getting your 3 points, winning the head-to-head against Paraguay would certainly help the cause greatly. And head-to-head is the first tiebreaker now. It used to be goal differential, but now it's head-to-head. So it even helps your cause more to win that first match and get your tournament off to a good start. So certainly excited about it. My anticipation for the tournament has built really happy about what the U.S. did in their two friendlies, even though they came away with a loss, as far as what they look like on the attack, because sometimes they have looked stagnant. They have found a way to play, at least against Senegal and Germany, which says they may be dangerous. The defense is the question. They had some issues against both, really because of self-inflicted wounds, whether it be the Tyler Adams foul early against Germany, and then they got crossed up, their two center backs, on the free kick that came afterwards that led to a goal. There have just been some mistakes you think would be things that they could have avoided, and maybe they will start to avoid them if Chris Richards is back in the starting 11, and maybe Miles Robinson, who could be blamed for maybe two goals that were given up over the course of two matches, is sent to the bench. So we'll see, but that gets going later today. And, you know, we've been talking about the World Cup quite a bit, partly because the games are in town, but also it is the biggest event going, at least worldwide. We got the finals. We got Stanley Cup finals as well, NBA finals, Stanley Cup finals. But as far as locally, unless it's hate watching the Spurs and loving your Astros, the World Cup in town is a big deal. And a little bit later, I'll tell you where you can go compete. And by compete, I mean playing in an interactive soccer game, and you'll have your opportunity to win tickets to a Houston-based match. We had Glenn Davis on earlier. He'll be calling games for the World Feed, for the Houston-based game. So Glenn's going to be on the call, not on Fox, but he will be on the call. So our preeminent voice in soccer joined John Lance earlier today, and he'll continue to do that throughout the tournament. So if you need an update of what happened over the weekend, a breakdown of the U.S. Paraguay result, Glenn Davis, Mondays, 8 a.m. Well, Monday, 8 a.m. with John Lance will have all that you need there. And certainly you can call us today at 713-780-3776. We'll get to your calls. There's some text and stuff to get to as they're wrapping up OTAs. I don't know if it was a directive from everyone or given to everyone by D'Amico or Nick Caserio, but there has been a clear message coming out of camp about how locked in CJ Stroud is. That of all the things that you can take from all the interviews, all the press availabilities, you can't find one person when asked about CJ Stroud that doesn't say he's locked in. So hopefully that is real and it translates to the season, but at least everyone's still on board, and they're telling us that he is the guy. And we'll hear from Big Hits All Day Kamari Lassiter today, because he spoke with Chris Long about that very subject and took some of the blame. We have not really since that game in January talked about whether the defense had any fault in their loss to the Patriots. It has been clearly on the shoulders of CJ Stroud. Well, we hear from Kamari Lassiter, and he feels differently. So we'll get to that when we come back. Dana Brown gave the state of the Astros to MLB.com, so I'll give you some of the notes from his sit-down with them. Not surprisingly, the Astros don't look to be sellers. They look to be buyers. The question is, will they be even in a position to find that a viable option? Right now, several games below 500. Is it back to 8? Are they 31-39 now after losing a series to the worst team in the AL? They got the Royals coming up here. That series will start today. So as the previous show ended with this, this is where the reset begins. This is where they get going. This is where things flip.
This is the one.
The low point, we thought we had several low points.
Yeah.
But we hit a low point.
It felt like it.
Losing a series to the Angels. But now, rock bottom. That's rock bottom.
Oh,
yeah, they've been 11 games below 500.
Yeah.
But losing a series to the worst team in baseball was rock bottom. Mm. That will get flipped. They've hit their blow point, just shooting up to the top from this point on. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then when Dana Brown makes a couple savvy moves around the deadline, and of course, we're getting two big-time acquisitions back anyway with Hunter Brown and Christian Javier, Yiner Diaz.
Basically like deadline moves. Yiner Diaz.
I mean,
I've seen the numbers of the pitching staff since he got hurt.
See, you're always looking at negative stuff.
I'm looking at the facts, Del.
You say they're facts. I bet you I can dredge up a stat that says maybe it's not as positive as you think since he's sat down. I bet I can find one. In fact, I can't bet, but I will assume that I can. Either way, we're getting guys back. Dana Brown's looking to make a move to help out his outfield, and it starts tonight in Kansas City. Sure it does. All right, we'll go to break. We'll hear from Kamari Lassiter when we come back. As I said, Michael Carroll at 11:30. We'll take your calls then and in between. We're just getting started. We'll be back. Oh, I didn't see that on the rundown. But before we go, as a reminder to everyone, it's the World Cup, like we've been talking about. And if you want a chance to go to a game, I got you set up right now, courtesy of Michelob Ultra. We did the thing yesterday where if you showed up at one of the local establishments in the city, you had a chance to compete and win tickets. Well, that's going on today as well, Saturday and Sunday. There's only the one opportunity today. It's at Christian's Tailgate from 5 to 8. That's in White Oak. But also, all day Saturday and Sunday, you have your chances, whether you want to go to Papa's on the Lake in Montgomery from 3 to 6, tomorrow, or the Marriott Marquis in downtown tomorrow from 4 to 7. Then you've got Saturday from 5 to 8, Highline Park in the Heights. Also from 5 to 8, Little Woodrow's in Edo. And then Moonshine Deck in the Heights from 7 to 10. And then on Sunday as well, if you can't make it on Saturday, we got the Sunday opportunities as well. Chapman and Kirby in Edo from 12 to 3. Twin Peaks in Kirby from 3 to 6. And then Fabian's Latin Flavors downtown from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. All those opportunities, all those sites are your chance to win World Cup tickets brought to you by Michelob Ultra. So there'll be an interactive soccer shootout game. If you win, you get a pair of tickets to a Houston-based FIFA World Cup game. And remember, we're actually going to be broadcasting today, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. But this is your chance to play for a chance to witness history, because Superior is worth playing for. Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 26.
Enjoy responsibly. Copyright 2026 Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri. No purchase necessary. Open to U.S. residents, excluding California and Washington residents, 21 and older. See official rules at www.michelobultra.com/rules/ for prizes and details.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So this is sound from Kamari Lassiter. He joined Chris Long. And anyone from the outside is going to ask any Texan that's made available to them about the quarterback. And whether it be at a presser or after practice or in a podcast interview like this, the message has been consistent. CJ is the best he's been in the offseason. He's still the guy we believe in. And Kamari Lassiter echoes this or that and also takes on some responsibility for what happened in New England all those months ago. Here's Kamari Lassiter with Chris Long.
I mean, yeah, for one, CJ, that's my guy. Like, and for two, he's that boy. He's been that boy since he picked up a football. So, I mean, in that game in New England, we all had a bad game. Defense had a bad game. Yeah. We gave up 28 points. So I feel like you can't just single out one person. I mean, we had a bad game. We didn't win the game as a team. So I just feel like, whenever you look at it from that perspective, we all rally together. We all look at what we did wrong, and we just move on. Like, we try and fix those mistakes, and then after that, it's on to the next.
The reality is they gave up 21 points. There was a pick six by Houston's own Marcus Jones, or at least Houston Cougar Marcus Jones. But the sentiment, the words he said are not surprising. They are an elite defense, and when they give up 20 plus points, they're gonna see that as a disappointing performance. And you know, at times the defense because they the type of coverages they play, sometimes they'll give a big player too. It's something they try to minimize, and they hope Reed Blankenship certainly helps their secondary. I still question their depth there. I don't know that they have a third corner, although I heard that I've seen people say that they saw Jalen Smith out there, and him being healthy could add something to a secondary that may be without some depth at the cornerback spot. So we'll see. We'll see what Jalen Smith maybe playing this year does for that secondary. Maybe they didn't need to go add anybody. They just got a guy back who missed quite a bit of time last year, and they're set there. So that secondary may be very, very solid. But this is fine messaging until your quarterback gives you reason not to say it. That's all.
Yeah.
It's in the offseason, he's your guy. He's that boy. All the things you say when there's nothing, there's no counter to it except the last thing we saw. So I think we will see this type of support. Does it wane? if there's a bump in the road this year, I think D'Amico Ryans and his team are close-knit enough that it's not going to like tear them apart or anything, but I don't know that patience will be something that's a strength of this team if they continue to see the blips that we saw from CJ. Even if you ignore what you saw in the final two games of the year, but even going back to last year, there were moments where he wasn't at his best. So it's a big, no question, this offseason, this upcoming season is a big one for him and this team, because all we will hear from them, at least the defensive players, is we can go win a title. So, much like the USMNT tonight, CJ better play well to start to validate the words that his teammates are saying about him. Because I don't care what they say about all this locked in and he's our guy. If that defense believes that he's going to cost them another shot, we see this all the time. The locker rooms change a little bit, and there start to be, I won't say infighting, but questioning of what's going on the other side.
Some cracks in the foundation of this, you know, of the team, you know, Kamari Laster just being a good teammate, just saying, hey, we gave up 28 points, you know, and it's like, well, like you pointed out, it's 21, and also in football in the 21st century, like giving up 21 points isn't like, yep, you forfeit any right to win.
Particularly when
you can't win a game giving up three touchdowns.
When your quarterback, when he's not throwing pick sixes, is putting you in bad spots as well with the other turnovers.
Yeah, and they actually, I mean, the pick six is the only points off turnovers that New England scored in that game. So they kept like making stops after horrific, and they had plenty of chances of horrific turnovers. And it's like, yep. Make another stop. But hey, listen, we gave up three touchdowns. That's inexcusable.
In a playoff game against the one seed on the road,
inexcusable,
or the two seed, I find that is a high standard. I credit them for having it, but I will give them a little grace and go, okay, you're on the road, 21 points. That's not a crazy thing for your offense to overcome to go win a football game.
It was. Whatever, January.
It was on that day,
or whatever. But yeah, I think it's more of a this year. You could see it if it's like a carbon copy of last year, especially in the playoffs. If it's just like so obviously, you know, three turnover performance, four turnover performance from, because we, you know, it's not unheard of that defenses do like, hey, we're sick of carrying these guys, especially. Especially when the quarterback starts making a lot of money. That's when a lot of that really pops up. You look at the Legion of Boom Seattle Seahawks, and they honestly, they were, Russell Wilson wasn't even playing that badly. It was just more of a, some of that's also
a personality
thing, which is, it does say something that it's so universally pro-CJ.
Like,
yeah, I think it's clear that they like CJ. They're not just being good teammates.
Yeah, even if we remove some of the expectations for what they need him to be, they appear to like him, which is not something you could say certainly about the Seattle Seahawks defense when it came to Russ. And that has happened.
Jalen Hurts with AJ Brown mostly,
which is tough.
But it does seem a little like the Eagles thing is like a little bit. It feels like it's kind of like one step past the Texans, maybe just because they have higher expectations because they've gone to two Super Bowls,
won one.
Yeah, but there is like a little bit, and just the city that they're in, where it's like, you know, when Philly is out on their starting quarterback, it's the temperature is a little bit hotter than here, where like people, I think, kind of like roll their eyes or like make jokes about. I mean, we do it a lot about C.J. Stroud's performance, but it's not like a, it's not like a serious like thing of like C.J. Stroud, this guy, like we're sick of watching this guy. It's like, no, it's more he came up small in a big moment.
Yeah, and you mentioned Eagles. You don't have the A.J. Brown personality on the offense to make people question, can this work out? Because Nico Collins, if we just do like for like as far as receiver to receiver, isn't someone who is demonstrative enough on the field or even off of it to even give you any inclination that there is a divide there. And DeMeco talked about his culture, and that is set. So what they've done this offseason is focus on technical stuff, particularly on offense, getting to the line earlier, making sure formation issues don't come up, being able just to operate in year two with CJ and Nick Cayley.
What do you operate? Yeah,
that they have the foundation of who they are is set. So now they're just doing the little tweaks.
Yeah,
formation, yeah. Like the formation stuff. You want to have a guy set a full second before he makes a shift.
That'd be cool if they could do that.
All that stuff frustrated us last year in the playoffs and in other games. They want to get that cleaned up, and that's what year two has been about in this offseason.
Yeah, that's what
under Nick Cayley.
That's what year two has been about. The little stuff like lining up and getting.
So you're laughing, but it's a serious matter.
It is I'm laughing
for this team.
I'm laughing because I feel like most teams can figure that out in year one. Well,
did they? Seem like a team who figured it out.
They sure didn't.
All right.
Sure didn't. But
since it was bothering them deep into a season. And you know what? A guy who might help that is our new quarterback coach, who was still a part of the coaching staff until they upgraded.
Shaplinski.
And Shaplinski is talking about year two. While Sean's laughing about it, here's Shaplinski talking about CJ with Cayley in year two.
Yeah, I think we've already seen it. The big thing we talked about as an offense in general is just when we got into phase one was operation and building our foundation. And so there was probably a lot of issues we had last year. Get the line of scrimmage, hurrying up to get the playoff. And so the big thing we pushed on all of our offense is getting the huddle right. Getting the play call in, getting the play called, breaking the huddle fast, using the shifts, being able to use the motion and still have plenty of time to operate and also use cadence with that. So that's a big emphasis we put on everybody. They've done a nice job, but now we'll just try to carry it over to training camp.
How does your role in all this?
And you're laughing about it, Sean, but the great Mike McDaniel had problems getting his team set, and it led to procedure penalties. Sure, he's doing a lot of shifting, and he's very creative, but even his offenses, when they're at their best, had these problems. So the Texans could very well have had a reasonable problem, and now it's fixed. And then we'll go on to year two with Nick Cayley and not worry about whether your seldomly used fullback, who's actually a defensive lineman, is ready to go when you snap a football, and we don't have to worry about touchdowns being taken off the board.
I can't wait. Can't wait to see it. Can't wait to see clean operation for my NFL football team in year two.
I mean, while I am pushing back on this thing you're doing here, I would say 19 games into a season, you would have hoped that would have been figured out. It wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, if you throw in the preseason games, even more time, even more time to figure it out.
Even but, now, like, you think about, like, it's June 12th. Like, there's still so much time before this season comes up. Like,
it's true. But you hear them, they figured it out.
I know. I'm super glad that all these guys figured it out. Now all we have are questions about the offensive line and wide receivers after Nico Collins and the fact your quarterback turned the ball over, fumbled five times, picked some of them up. And threw four interceptions in two playoff games. Other than that, but they line up. They line up now. Really well.
maybe if he has less to worry about as far as getting everybody set, his actual play after the snap will be better.
Maybe. Maybe. Time to put a bull in the ring. That, hey, they only lost by what, 12, 14, whatever
I think it was? 12, yeah.
And, the, you know, it took them, what, since, what, OTAs last season to January? That's like 9 months, 8 months. It took them that long to learn how to line up. They made the divisional round, almost won. Hey, now the ceiling's the roof. I mean, who's going to stop this team now that they can line up?
We have no proof that they can line up.
That's what Jerry Sapolsky. Are you calling Jerry Sapolsky a liar?
No, I'm just saying we have no proof. They may have all the proof in the world.
I trust Jerry Sapolsky. If there's one thing I've come to know in years of watching
of knowing Jerry Sapolsky
of watching Texans football, is when they say a problem's fixed, it's fixed. Set it and forget it. And Sapolsky is like just another.
They're like a crock pot?
Yes. Yep. They basically are right now just doing those extra long QVC type ads of like Flex Seal. Like if they can put a screen door in the bottom of this boat and put some Flex Seal on it and take it out to the lake. Like, yeah, that's the equivalent of being like, we have it all figured out now. Don't worry.
I hope they're right.
We feel great about everybody on the team.
It's the time of the year where you should.
Our defensive line is so good, we have to take them off the field to run a play.
I'm going to need you to ignore that fact, even though I did bring it up, that everything's going so great that you can't even run plays if Will Anderson's on the field.
But they're lining up. Before Will Anderson ruins the play, they are lining up very well.
This is very much spring game type stuff. Hey, my defensive end got a sack. Great, but he beat my starting
How do I want to read this?
Yeah, just depends. Look, though, how you
a lot of deep throws from our quarterback. Does that mean our secondary sucks? No.
I'll give this. This is how you read it. Ain't nobody got a Will Anderson on the roster. So if Will Anderson's doing it, but the Colts can't do that.
No.
They don't have Will Anderson. They don't have a Will Anderson.
One of those.
Yeah. So that's how you. That's how you.
Make
it work.
Yeah.
You are the only team with great players. You don't.
Pass rusher.
Yeah, forget Josh Hines Allen. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Forget about him. I know he ruined a game last year.
Mm-hmm.
But he ain't Will Anderson.
No,
and we got sure our O line issues fixed. That's how you figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Bills don't have anyone. What's the next game? I forgot. I know they play the Packers. That'll be tough.
He won't be healthy
by December.
He won't be the same.
Okay.
It's year two.
So he will come back from the ACL and then also get nicked up.
No, year two is when you are at your best.
Oh, okay. Oh, I got
That's
you.
That's what I'm
I
saying.
I got you. He'll still be rusty.
He'll still be working his way back.
Snap count, maybe.
The problem is all those snaps will be on pass rushing downs. That'll be the problem.
But still, rusty.
Yeah,
Brain Smith's got him.
We can hope, and that's a long way in the future. Either way, everything's worked out. The Texans will be fine. Let's go to break.
Jerry Sapolsky said the Texans are going to be
no. Every, not just,
well, he did say he did limit it. He didn't say they'll be all right. He said that the pre-snap stuff it'll be all right now.
And we've heard from others that things are going well, so we can take them at their word. Before we go to break, let's talk about a company you don't have to question at all. Yeah, Sean and I are doing this non-physical thing where we question the Texans and their words because they've always backed it up. But you know who has backed it up? One Aqueduct Plumbing Company, led by Billy Brown. If you got a problem with your plumbing, they're the people you go to. Just go to their website, aqueductplumbingcompany.com, and figure out not only what your problem is, but what they can do to fix it. And that's the deal. They have this drop-down services menu that tells you all the things they provide for you. Whether it be a big job like a repipe because you have an older home, or maybe it's something where you know there's a leak, you need it taken care of because you don't want this leak to turn into a giant problem for you in the future. They'll handle that for you. They do camera inspections as well. They have great contractors that you can get in touch with. And as I mentioned, those repipes, they're Houston's premier repiping company. What does that mean? They've done over 1,000 of those, and they've done great jobs for people who've had an issue. So if you need the giant job, they're there for you. if you need the smaller job, they're there for you. You can also call them at 281-488-6238 to get in touch with them and get yourself a free quote. You got a problem, you don't know how much it costs, they're not going to charge you to figure it out. That's what the free quote is for. Take advantage of that at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Just go to the website. It's aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.